Heading back to your calls shortly on the open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. Business continues at Werribee Kia with social distancing, and that open line number, 1300 736 736 is the number, 1300 736 736. You call, I'll get you on. Craig, I know in Mermaid Beach in Queensland, you're on the line. I'll come to you very shortly. Sean Higgins, North Melbourne Star, to join us in about 15 or 20 minutes time. So we'll have a chat to Sean about more footy issues, including some of the North Melbourne footballers having to get out of their postcode and get ready to pack their bags and head away for the hub situation and what they're hearing. Big game against the Western Bulldogs coming up first, though, for Sean Higgins and the North Melbourne Kangaroos. But Anthony DiPietro has been good enough to join me for a couple of minutes. Melbourne Victory chairman to talk some A-League and find out what the recent spike in Victoria is doing for Melbourne Victory's preparations to get some games and the A-League back up and running. Welcome to you, Anthony. Thanks a lot for your time, firstly.
Hi, Dwayne. Thanks for inviting us on.
Yeah, so the COVID situation in Victoria causing havoc with many competitions and many teams and players in Victoria. What is the problems that you're working through right now, given what's happened this last 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as far as what's happened in the last few days, Dwayne, we've had one player that was in the postcodes, so he's obviously been relocated. So our team's okay from that perspective, but really running our training programs through quite a detailed COVID response set of arrangements. So it's working well. Grant Bredner and the team are doing really well. We're only a couple of weeks away now from the season, so. Look, really, the preparations are all good. Unfortunately, two of our games have now been named TBC for venues. That's Western United and Central Coast. The hope was to have them at Amy Park, but that's a changing situation every day, and it may mean that we need to play those in New South Wales.
So, soccer is a sport that naturally has a lot of players away from home for periods of time, whether you're on international duty or you're an international player going to another country to play. Does it mean that your players are more mentally attuned to accepting what you've got coming as opposed to the AFL players who are saying, you know, 3 weeks away is the max that they'd be able to cope with?
Look, it's not. I don't think it's easy for anyone, Dwayne. The travel, it's a different environment of travel. The expectations are around now. You're right, it does involve a lot of travel internationally, and we play in Asian Champions League. Our club's been in there many times, and we're currently in the competition. It's suspended, and that involves quite a bit of travel. We've got, in the A-League, we have 5 visa players, so 5 internationals per club. So you've got players coming in and out that settle here for a season or more. You know, that's all fine and that's part of the game, but this the uncertainty around COVID, it certainly adds another level of, you know, of complexity and certainly concern for everybody.
So you're on the steering committee for the A-League as well, and what problems are you going to have, and do you think you've got them pretty much troubleshot right now? Do you think you've got an understanding as to what you need to do, and are you confident that the way the planning is going, you'll get this season block through?
Yeah, Dwayne, I think the work that's been undertaken by FFA management, the A-League management and the clubs has been enormous, like all codes. So the preparation's been great, but someone told me when I become chairman of this club that there'll be a new curveball thrown every day. And that person was so right, and there's more than one curveball getting thrown at the moment. So we really are planning as best we can, but expecting the unexpected each day. You know, we had hopes that we'd have potentially the ability to bring some of our members into games for the Amy Park games. I mean, that's just so far off now. We'd be lucky to even be playing there the way things are looking. But, you know, I don't want to speculate, but, you know, the last few days have been, you know, quite concerning here in Victoria.
So when are you planning to go away, and do you think when's your next game going to be?
We'll wait. So the season kicks off in a couple of weeks. July 16 is the restart. we'll wait until FFA confirm with us whether we're playing our Victorian games here in Victoria or whether we're going to play them in New South Wales. It may be a fly-in, fly-out situation. We hope that that is the case rather than hubbing, but we really don't know yet. So preparations for all of those contingencies are underway. What the team's doing is just getting ready to play, and the management's getting ready for all of those contingencies. So we're very comfortable that we're in a good place to get the season going.
What's the best period for a soccer season in Australia, do you think, Anthony?
It's a good question. Look, obviously next season, it's been agreed amongst all of the stakeholders, including Fox Sports and the FFA and the league, that it will kick off in December. We normally kick off in October. It's been October through to May. Now it's going from December through to July. Look, that poses big questions, and it's quite a healthy debate going on as to when the best time is. It does line us up for international aspects of football and in relation to the Asian Champions League. Grassroots football will be played at the same time, or there'll be a better crossover period. So there's some, you know, there's some fors and against. Selfishly, as a club at Melbourne Victory, we've enjoyed significant, very strong corporate support that's enabled us to build a strong club by being in an off-season, not competing directly with the AFL, and particularly here in Victoria. Crossing over, that presents a new challenge for us, but we're really going into it with an open mind. And, you know, look, I think it's going to be an interesting time, and that's one of the many debates about improving the league and the game here in Australia. But, yeah, look, we're looking forward to the new fixture.
And is it how much is it driven by the TV deal and getting some space to get your game to allow, you know, maximisation of bums on seats, but also backsides on couches at home?
Look, that definitely plays a part in it, Dwayne, but I think the international side and the connection to grassroots, they really bring it together. And, broadcast certainly plays a part. And, you know, we've got one more year with Fox on the new agreement, and everyone's working hard to look at how we're going to broadcast and get to people and improve what we've got for the years to come. So there's lots and lots of work to do. There's no doubt about that. It's a, you know, it's an enormous game. We've got 2 million participants in this country. It's the highest participated sport, but we really do need to do a lot more work in generating further mainstream interest in the game.
And is the opportunity with the Women's World Cup and to get more women and girls playing an opportunity for you to grab a bigger part of the market share? It's not necessarily growth from men, it's growth from the women's side of things that might actually help you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the women's game has grown enormously in Australia. I think winning the World Cup is just, the hosting rights is just enormous. Apart from all the obvious stuff about, you know, what it does for the economy and tourism, the broadcast will be a billion plus viewers on TV around the world. We'll have record crowds here, no doubt. Apart from that, the participation is already large here. Women's football, young girls joining a sport that they know is not only big domestically, but it gives them the opportunity to play in a World Cup or the Olympics. It's a big game, and you know, we can only grow from here. And you're right, it does help lead the way for the growth of the game in Australia.
And we're out of time, but your long-term coach Chase, how's that going?
Yeah, look, it's going very rigorously. A few challenges with some of the international candidates. Obviously, the visa restrictions is going to be interesting, and we're going to have the same challenges with players into the new season for international visa players coming in. So there's another level of complexity added to it. But look, we've had some great candidates. We're taking our time. We've had a very difficult season this year. We had one 7 or 8 years ago, so we've got to get it right. and the season starts in December, so we've got a little bit of time to get ourselves organised and the new coach in, but we're not there yet.
Great to have you, Anthony, and thanks for clarifying everything in the A-League space. I appreciate your time.
Good. Thanks, Dwayne. Have a good day.
Anthony Di Pietro, Melbourne Victory chairman. A break, more of your calls. Craig and Mermaid Beach, I promise I'll come to you next.